Welcome to the Babbelry,
where translators visit the Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
Babel.
Babbelry. This is your host, Suki Wessling, and this is a mini babble, just me talking to you. Yesterday, I read a really thought-provoking piece about the neurology of greed with Dr. Dan Goyal in Substack. Then I went for a walk. I was really revved up. And it's somewhat weird that I'm sharing this, but there's a certain passion here that I edit out of my more polished pieces, and I like it. Listen at your own peril. You'll notice that at the beginning I'm dictating my punctuation, dorky me, and then I get sidetracked by a dog. This is real, though I did take out the loudest of the snorky snuffles that I had from the cold. If you make it to the end of this, or even the middle, please go to babbelry.substack.com and leave a comment in the text version. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Okay, so into the redwoods we go.
I was reading that piece about greed, and I was thinking about the world's richest men and what motivates them. And yes, I am using the word man in a gendered way, period. The world's richest men. We see each other again. The world's richest men are the world's richest men for a variety of reasons, comma. In some cases, I know that it's talent. In fact, I did get to know Jeff Bezos in his early years of Amazon, and of course, there was a brilliant intellect there. There was a person who was driven to understand numbers and use them to his advantage. But there is something else that drives these men, especially when they are very wealthy, and start looking at those lists. You know the lists I'm talking about. The Forbes lists, the lists of best performing companies. All of those lists are of incredible importance for someone who already has succumbed to greed and is thinking about his actions in terms of maximizing the profit to him. So let's look at the Forbes 10 richest men list. These are all men who essentially are being given a prize for not getting rid of their astonishing amounts of wealth. A modern day Carnegie would not be on that list. Bill Gates has worked really hard to get himself off that list. The men who are up at the top of that list have no discernible interest in giving away their money, and it's not surprising. If they are motivated by greed, and one of the indicators of their success is being on that list, then why would they do something that would jeopardize their position? Of course, they would do the opposite. They would behave in ways that would get them higher on the list and then cement their position. We all know that greedy people are relatively easy to motivate. You probably know a greedy person in your life who isn't on any Forbes list. He, and again, I'm sticking with gendered language here, probably covets many of the trappings of wealth that perhaps his actual income can't support. He or she, because let's add in some women here, has absorbed the message that we are sending out to everyday people that we can all be like Jeff Bezos. We can all hoard the money we make and the stuff we buy to the point that we're at the top of the list. Of course, the list in a community might be the guy who owns the biggest car dealership, or perhaps in a very smaller community, the woman who is most successful in selling multi-level marketing schemes like cosmetics or essential oils. These people are essentially functioning the same way as Bezos and Musk, just on a different level. They feel like they have been taught, and their brain chemistry has now so shifted from what we consider normal that they deeply believe that their value is based on what they earn and what they buy. Whenever they buy, say, a new car that they really can't afford, they feel like Elon Musk buying Twitter just for the heck of it. They feel like that model, throwing your money at something that serves no real purpose in your life, is building greed capital. So back to those billionaires, soon to be trillionaires. I think that there are people who have little control over this situation, though they might not see it that way. Forbes, as an organization, has never been altruistic. It has always existed to promote the acquisition of money and stuff. These men seek out fame based on what they think is the worth of themselves, which is their money. So, I just went up a hill. So, what does it mean that Forbes is playing into this? Well, I am guessing that the people who write for Forbes are not billionaires. I think it's pretty safe to say that even their extremely well-paid editor or publisher is not in that esteemed company. But even if they are well paid, they are also, we know, very smart. You don't get to the top of a media empire like that without some intelligence. Now, intelligence is a loaded word because we all define it differently, and I'm really defining it functionally here. Their brains work really well. So, taking all the value judgment out of the word intelligence, and just talking about intelligence the way you would talk about a sports car, these guys are sports cars. But let's face it, at this point, they are intellectual internal combustion engines. They are not the modern, eco-friendly little Korean car that I have that can outpace any of them 0 to 60 because it just doesn't have to burn all of that fuel to move all of those moving parts. My little Korean car beats the guy with the muscle car at the red light who's gunning, ready to go every single time. So these guys are muscle cars. They're old-fashioned. They are stuck in a way that is going to end, whether our incoming idiot-in-chief wants it to end is not the important, or doesn't want it to end, is trying to keep it from ending, okay, that's probably better, is not really the important part of this. What's important is that, and oh, I just lost my train of thought because those dogs were barking. What's important here is that the electric vehicle is the future, whether people want it to be or not. I mean, if it's not the future, there will be no future, right? Because we are going to keep warming this earth, and then the oil will run out, and then all of those cars will be non-functional. So, given all that, we're already talking about a situation where the cars, these souped-up race cars that run our large media organizations, their brains need to shift. Here's what I propose to the publisher, the editors, the people who do the math. Oh, those math heads. I love those math heads. They need to get into the modern world. And the modern world is one in which we have seen the result of unbridled capitalism, the result of unbridled greed. And I'm not going to talk about poor people here. I'm going to talk about rich people. This is not good for rich people, okay? So, you know, all these stories, one of them is probably in Forbes. I don't read Forbes, so how would I know? About how the uber wealthy are writing again, distracted by dog barking. Apparently dogs barking really distract me. So all these uber wealthy people who are building these compounds, you know, these survival places, and you know, let's face it, the rich have no future if the poor have no future, if the middle class has no future. Can you imagine? They're going to be like the only people left in their bunkers. What are they going to do? Are they going to go out and start hoeing their garden? I mean, they have a vested interest in keeping this earth livable because they're people. They may have forgotten that they're people. And to go back to the brain research about greed, perhaps their brains are so warped now that they don't feel their own humanity. We have had this experiment. We've done the experiment. We know science. We understand science, especially those guys who are amassing huge amounts of wealth. They, at least originally, did very well in their science and math related classes, right? Very few of them are like Trump. Trump just inherited the crap he inherited, and he built on it with his greed, right? But most of these guys are, I don't know, I never asked Jeff where he came from, but he was, you know, he was just a guy that I met with a nice wife who's gone off to be a much better person. And they are people, and they will remember their humanity at some point. Will they remember it soon enough? And so I know I'm going in circles, partly because I'm going in circles because I've looped back and I'm about to rejoin where I started on this loop. Physically in this forest, which is beautiful this morning, LA is burning and Santa Cruz County is absolutely at its most glorious. I heard it described as travel brochure weather. This is the weather that when people in other places that are miserable come to us in the winter, they think, this is amazing, it's beautiful. It is the most beautiful sunny day. And here I am in the forest, looping back to the editor of Forbes to the people who make these decisions. And here's what I want to say. The world's richest man is not the only measure that's important now. We have learned that. We did this experiment of largely unbridled capitalism. I mean, there are stops, right? So luckily, what happened in the first part of the 20th century is not happening now in the same way, right? If that hadn't been stopped, we would be somewhere altogether darker at this point. But okay, so we have some stops on their behavior, but not very many. So these people at Forbes, they have the power, and here's what I want to request that they will do. I want you to redo your formulation of what it is to be rich. I'm going to tell you, readers, that I am comfortable. Some people who write on Substack are not comfortable, and they're in a hard place, and they really sacrifice to be able to be a writer. But in my case, I am comfortable. So I know that the people at Forbes are like me. I know that they can step out of this like I do and look around and say, what really makes us rich? And, you know, there's lots of solid research on what really makes us, I said what really makes us rich, and I meant what really makes us, yes, I meant, okay, I'm getting there. My brain, now I'm going downhill. Apparently my brain doesn't work as well going downhill. Okay, so what really makes us rich? Money makes us rich. I mean, like I said, I'm comfortable. I do worry about money because I'm not like a bazillionaire, right? And of course I worry about money. I worry about the fact that my husband and I are very, very young for our age, and we have probably many years to pay for our lives. So I worry, but I'm not really worried the way that somebody who's really struggling is worried, right? So they aren't worried too, right? Maybe they live in New York City and they live in a tiny apartment on their salary, whatever. But they can understand that there is tons of research about what makes people's lives rich. And let's talk about rich in that meaning. What enriches our lives? I am in a redwood forest. I am standing here looking at redwood trees that are there. This one I'm looking at is not an old growth tree, but it is huge. It's enormous. It's probably, I don't know, 10 feet in diameter. I'd have to get closer to see. This is making my life rich. I feel out here like I'm rich. And I know that wealthy people can do this, that wealthy people can step back and say, what really makes my life rich? But greedy people can't. And that's getting back to that research about greed in the brain and what happened to their brains and the fact that their brains are different than other people's brains. Whether they are a guy who works in your office who's always hoarding, I don't know, I've been reading George Saunders, so what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about hoarding coffee pods, right? Or they're Bezos, or they're Trump, or they're Musk. These guys don't know what it is to be rich. So how about Forbes? How about you teach them? And here is my idea. You use math, okay? Let's look at someone like Mackenzie Scott, formerly Bezos. She started after her divorce as one of the wealthiest people in the world. And look what she's doing. She is working very hard to become not one of the wealthiest people in the world. And that is making her life richer. So how about this? We're going to redo that equation. It's not going to be about how much they've amassed, how much their company is worth, how much their real estate is worth, how much we think they have in the bank. Yes, that stuff is going to be in there because people are intrinsically interested in people who are successful, right? No matter what kind of success it is. I read a really touching story about a young woman in a historically black neighborhood in Los Angeles, Altadena, that burned to the ground the other day. And she's successful. And what her success is that she called up her
aunt who lived nearby and said, we need to leave. And her aunt said, no, I'm just going to ride it out. It never comes close to this neighborhood. And she said, you will be out waiting for me in 20 minutes. And she did it. She was successful. She was, so we want to read about her, right? Because she's successful. And yes, we want to read about people who are successful in business. We want to read about people who've made a lot of money, who have fancy gold-plated toilets. Although I personally have never read anything about gold-plated toilets. I just hear people referring to it. So I assume it's out there somewhere. Anyway, so let's change the formula. Success, being rich, is not just the stuff you have kept, but the stuff you have given away. Ooh, now I can't even talk. All right, even got so into that part that I stopped walking. So here's what success, the formula for success that I'm proposing. I propose that they take into account, and they'd have to do the numbers. As I said, my numbers brain, gone. But they'd have to do the numbers. But say they added in not only how much money they've given in the last, say, 10 years. Let's just say 10 years. Nice number, right? They add that back in, but they increase it. Because when you give money to nonprofit organizations, when you give money to needy people, when you give money to create health programs in struggling nations, you accrue this incredible amount of personal capital. You become a better person, a richer person, a happier person, a person who feels like your place in this world isn't just taking stuff from other people. No one is fed by that. Yes, these greedy brains think they're being fed by it, but you know, we've all read the Christmas story, right? Ebenezer Scrooge, in the end, he figured it out. Too late for him, really, but he figured it out. We can take those brains. Dickens, oh my God, go read Dickens if you don't read Dickens. Dickens, he was like this incredible sage about human behavior. You read his stories of people who, you know, he's been dead for so long, yet they still ring so true. And this is true. We know it's true. These people are educable, and Forbes has the power. So Forbes, think about it. How can you change your formula? How can you fix it so that you can take into account the money they made? Sure. The stuff they have? Sure. The companies they run? Sure. But add the money they gave away and the personal capital that they built when they did that. And I guarantee you, there's going to be some shifting of positions to begin with. But what I really guarantee you is that those men will notice. Because those men are, getting back to the brain research, they are motivated by greed. Their brains have altered, and if they see themselves slipping, if people start referring to someone who's more, who, say it's not someone who's, well, like Bill Gates. I don't know that much about Bill Gates, but let's take him as an example. He still has his big fancy house, I think. I mean, I remember reading an article about his house. That was pretty amazing. Still has a big fancy house, right? But he has built all of this personal capital. Stuff with his ex-wife did a little to decrease that personal capital. But anyway, he still has all this personal capital. When I was a young adult, when people said Bill Gates, they mean the same thing that people mean when they say Elon Trump, Elon Musk. Elon Trump, how's that for a Freudian slip? Elon Musk says today, you know, that they meant the same thing. Avarice, absolute ruthless greed. This leader of a corporation that was giving people stuff that was supposedly improving their lives, but was actually not, that it was trying to pull people away from things that they loved. It was trying to win the capitalist game at all costs. And look at him now. Something happened, right? Maybe nothing happened. Maybe he never was the greedy person we thought he was, but Forbes, we can do this. Change
equation, okay? Change the equation. All right, I'm on the last hill up to my house, and it was beautiful. And you know, I didn't start, I dictate these notes when I'm walking because I get ideas. And I didn't start thinking that I would put out this crazy, raw, unedited ramble. But I think I am. I mean, my goodness, 27 minutes and 42 seconds. I just glanced at my phone. Man, that really increased my walk. I took a couple extra loops. So thank you for listening if you did. Have a lovely day.
You've been listening to The Babblery.
The Babblery is produced with support from KSQD Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
Find us on major podcast platforms or at babblery.com.